Okay, so we're going to just use the screen tonight. Just going to put up a map in a moment. Let me see if I'm on. If you go ahead and pick up Joshua chapter number 15. Yes, that song was The Value of One. Normally, Joe does not sing in the choir. So he's kind of got pulled into this. He's normally the preacher sitting up the front while the choir sings. And so that's not typical of what he would do on a given Sunday. But you probably didn't distinguish the various words, which would be normal. You know, you don't know Thai. Jan, Bruce's wife, would have understood all of that. In Thai, when you get eternal life, you get Chiwit Nilan. So Chiwit is life and Nilan is forever. And so eternal life is Chiwit Nilan. And Tut Sawan, Sawan is heaven. Tut Sawan is an angel. And so God is Prajau. And Jesus is Prayesu. If you sin, it's Bab. If you're a sinner, you're Kon Bab. And so that's some of the basic words that we use. The Bible is the Pakampi. And so you would have probably not distinguished some of that, but it was basically modeled on the song, The Value of One. It's not, again, when you do something in Thai, you can't just say, let's change that English word to Thai and somehow it'll make sense. They have their own way of saying things. So the translation method of a song is dynamic equivalence. But certainly not the Bible, but a song, it's more the meaning, but it moves them. None of these songs are available in Thai. You know, you think about missionaries have been going in for so long, all of these songs we have to translate ourselves. We have nothing is available. There's no Christian bookshops. It's hard to get Bibles. People send them to us periodically, but our resources are basically non-existent. And so we have to just work on all those things ourselves to teach them. It takes a long time to translate a song to make it make sense, that if the Thais hear it, because if they hear it and doesn't make sense, there's no point in that. There's got to be meaning. So it's got to be clear. And these are just part of the challenges of being on a mission field. That a lot of the resources that we have here are just simply not available. So anyway, praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 15. I'm going to just teach you something tonight. And I want you to see, I guess, thank you, principally the character of God in the way that he does things. God's character has not changed. And one of the best things you could do is to try to understand the character of God. Joshua, I should have brought my water up. Would you bring it to me? Thank you. Did you pre-taste that and make sure it was okay? You didn't. Something happens, you'll be sorry. And so to study the character of God is a good thing to do, to understand him, you know, to understand the way he works. And now there's parts of him that will not be revealed. It would be foolish to say you have the capacity to understand everything about God. There's parts of him that are not revealed, and there's parts of things that he does, including things that he does in your life, that he will not explain. And so it's not a problem with you not getting it. He's not telling. And you'll understand one day why he didn't tell. If you read the Lord's interactions with Daniel, who was considered to be favored, you know, special, Daniel asked some things and the Lord didn't answer. And in fact, he says, go thy way, Daniel. It's sealed. Go thy way. and you'll stand in your lot in the end. And it was like he said, Daniel, I'm not telling you. And just get on with it and keep going. And there's a part of God's nature that is that way. Now, it's not harsh, and I don't want to misrepresent his character, God forbid. But he reveals himself in the Word of God. And so when you read the Word of God and you get the story or you get what somebody else did, always be looking at it to understand what that tells you about the Lord. Because all of that is a revelation of his character. And so we're going to see something right back here in Joshua. There's some application, I think, for us. I'm sure there is. It would not be in the Word of God. And I'm going to just point out some things about the distribution of land that God gave to the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'm not going to cover every tribe and every place, but I'm just going to highlight some things within the timing. And you'll see, I think, some meaning here, some purpose. And what happened, how this came to be, is it was done by lots. And so in a moment, in Joshua, did I say Joshua? In Joshua 15, in verse number 1, we're going to read, this then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah. And so Judah got the first lot here. And how it worked is, I guess, the leaders of the tribes would have assembled, and the important people. And the idea of it being done by lot was not that it was a chance thing, but it was how God would reveal what he chose for them. It was just a means by which God could clearly delineate what he had for that particular tribe. Now, nobody knew this ahead of time. Nobody knew what they were going to get. Nobody knew what portion was going to come to them. And this map here, if you can sort of see that all the way down, is a map of Israel, and it's shaded here, as I guess as best somebody could represent, of the various tribes and the allotment that they received from God, and all of this area, you have to understand, was already occupied. So when they were getting their lots given to them, it wasn't like just walk in and take it. It was go and take it, but there's going to be a battle. It's not empty. There are people there. But God had judged them, and part of that judgment on those people, which had built up over many generations, was that they were going to be evicted from that land. And so as they were getting their lots, they were just getting told what area that they were going to get, and their tribes and the wives and the kids and all the multitudes. And so Judah is the first one here in Joshua 15, and verse 1 again, this then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom. The wilderness of Zin southward was the uttermost part of the south coast. And I'm not going to sort of read all the way through, but it would go through to verse number 12, and it delineates the area that God chose for Judah. And if you see it here, it's marked in whatever color that looks like from back there. Purple, gray, if you're colorblind, it could be green, I don't know. But that area there, if you can see that area there, that is Judah. And if you say, well, that's a large allotment, it was. And what do you notice about that? This is the sea. And so their allotment of land borders the sea here and goes right through to, the Dead Sea here. And it was a generous allotment. And I think Judah would have been well pleased when they drew their lots. You know, I can imagine them all listening, and you know, maybe someone, I don't know, they would have had a map, but they would have had some idea. They would have been listening as God revealed who, what areas, where the border was, how much you got, and I think they would have looked at each other and said, you know, I think we've done good. you know. And another one might have said, well, that's pretty big. You know, and it would have been a good, exciting, and that was occupied. It was occupied. But this was God saying, I give you this. I give you this. And so Judah got the first lot. Now go to Joshua 19. And if you get to Joshua 19, it says, and again, starting at verse 1, we come to the second lot. Well, how many were there? Well, 12 tribes. And they're all gonna have an allotment. And so Judah now has got theirs, but nobody else, they didn't have this map, right? So nobody else understands where theirs is. They're all waiting. They don't know what they're going to get. They don't know what God has decided for them. And you get to the second lot, and the second lot, and I happen to believe that they would have drawn to decide the tribe by the first draw, and then to decide the allotment. And again, what I want you to understand, it was not by chance. This was not a lottery or something random. What this was a revelation of what God had determined for them. We clear on that? They just didn't know what it was. And so you get to the second lot here, and they would have said, okay, everybody, do we have all the heads of the tribes? Judah, you have yours, if you just step back a little bit. But stay, we want you to hear this. Okay, fellas, let's go. Okay, and I don't know how they did it, but it would have been Simeon. You know, come on down. Where's Simeon? And Simeon would have been, oh, it's us. And would have come up, and the heads, you know, waiting. Simeon is there. And now Simeon is going to find out what they got. And everybody else would have been, you know, listening. And here it is. The second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. And I can imagine them listening, you know, your boundary is here, these cities, this place, and they're looking, you know, trying to work it out, and Judah's thinking, is that on our, was, are they getting given, what, did we check that? Now God is doing this. And suddenly, and Judah's listening, and they're visualizing it, and what happened was, Simeon got given a lot of land here. And you'll notice it's an allotment right in the middle of Judah's allotment. It's the only one like that. It's the only time it occurred. And it would have been, at least initially, perplexing for both of them. Now understand again, God is doing this. This is by choice. This is planned. And so verse number 9 of Joshua 19, out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Now you might be thinking, you just gave it to us. We just got it. And there's purpose in this. And I'll teach you something about that. But he said, therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. And so you have that there. Now, I won't go through all the other tribes, but just so you can sort of see the unfolding. Verse 10, in Joshua 19, the third lot is Zebulun. And in verse 17, it says, and the fourth lot, Issachar. And then verse 24, the fifth lot was Asher. And then the sixth lot is in verse 32, Naphtali. And then in verse 40, you have the seventh lot, which went to Dan. And all of this area was decided by the Lord. So the first thing we want to say is this. God determines our lot in life. We don't get to choose. You'll choose things within your allotment, but there's a whole lot of things you don't choose that God decides. Now, we've been in America 1 week, and the day we flew out, my youngest son, Curtis, who's a missionary to Thailand as well, please pray for Curtis. He's doing a great job. Curtis and Dow, his wife. Curtis had his first child, which was our grandchild, born on the day that we were leaving. Now, my wife got to be there, and she got to hold the baby. I'd already headed off into town. When I say town, 3 hours away. And so I was not there, but I saw the pictures, and you know, it was moving, and she's a little girl, and you know, everyone's grandkids are like just the best, and she's you know, she's just a cute little girl, and she actually, though the mother is Thai, she actually looked like our kids. It reminded me so much of our children, and I'll be honest, I teared up, and for lots of reasons. Curtis is on the mission field, my youngest, that I named after Curtis Hudson, who I prayed over when he was a baby, but he doesn't know that. When he was born, I took him to the window of the hospital, right immediately was born. I held him up to the window, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I pray something of the spirit, small s, that was on that man, Curtis Hudson, would come on this boy. And so I named him after Curtis Hudson. Curtis is a very unusual name in Australia. It's almost unheard of. And so here he is, and now advance forward 20-something years, and he's on the mission field, and he just... Curtis's prayer life makes me feel convicted. Curtis has such an authentic walk with God. Curtis is just conscious and expecting the coming of the Lord, and he just has a zeal to serve, and I've just watched God order the steps of a good man, and provided him a wife and do all of that, and so they had the baby, and it was moving for me. You know, we have four others, beautiful grandchildren, but they're in Australia. I don't get to see them near as much as we'd like, but this one was born on the mission field. To my sons, it was a moving thing for me. At the same time that she was born, now understand this little girl, her name is Joyce. My grandmother's name was Joyce. And so he named her after my grandmother, Joyce, and her second name is Suzanne. And I don't know where he got that. But it's Joyce, Suzanne. And so the same hour that Joyce is born. Now, Joyce's mother and father are Christians and love God and go to church. And Joyce's grandfather and grandma is Brother Shemesh and Miss Suzanne. And Joyce is born into a family, and she doesn't know that, just love her dearly. And Joyce has been born into a place where her mum and dad and her grandparents and uncles and aunts are going to do everything they can to teach her about the Lord and help her to have a good life. And that was her lot. But the same hour God brought something to my attention in just such a strange way. I received a message from somebody who did not even understand, did not know that my granddaughter had been born. And they sent me a picture, and I could have put a picture up tonight, but, you know, too much in one night. But they sent me a picture the very same hour. There was a baby born the same hour. There was a baby born under a bridge in Yangon, Burma. Thais say Pama or Myanmar, depending what you want to call it. A baby was born to a mum lying under a bridge. I have pictures. And there are people standing around this, all the rubbish and everything, and trash, what do you say, under the bridge. And this little girl was born, and I saw her picture, and she just looks so the same. And God brought that to me. And I looked. And I thought, born under a bridge in Burma. Country in poverty, civil war. Mum not saved, you know. I thought, that poor little kid. She didn't get to pick any of that. She didn't get to say, let me be born in America where there are churches and they preach the Bible. And she didn't get to do any of that. And she just got birthed into that. You know, there's some things in life that is your lot in life. There's some things you didn't get to pick. And what you have to do is live for God within your lot in life. That's what you have to do. Whatever your lot in life is, the Lord would have you to live for Him. So these allotments here are all over. Now, depending where, I'll come back to this, depending where you got your allotment here, you understand it was occupied, and some people were easier to evict than others. The Bible tells of this. So one area that is problematic was over here, and this is on the coast as well, and you'll see the tribe of Dan is there. And what happened was Dan struggled to evict these people. And the people who lived on this coast here were Philistines. And they had iron chariots, which meant that it was a battle. They were all fighting, but it was particularly hard. And what happened is that Dan left their area, and they ended up walking away from the allotment that God had given them. They left their place. Now, do you understand, if God has put you there, you can do it. I'm not saying it's not hard, but if God placed you there, you can do it. God does never set up anybody for failure. God's not cruel. He's not playing a joke on you. He's not toying with you. If what He's giving you, you can live for Him within your lot in life. And you can glorify Him. My mum was one of six born to an Australian dairy farmer or a share farmer in Australia. My granddad's name was Frederick Charles, and he went off to fight in World War II. And they were poor. And when he came back from World War II, he fought against Rommel in the North Africa campaign. He fought against the Japanese in New Guinea. He was engaged in all of that. And when he finally, he lived through the war, he survived, he got back, like many, many of your compatriots as well. Came back to Australia. My mum was one of six children. Out of all the six kids, she was the only one with blonde, curly hair. And the pictures of Mum, she looks like Shirley Temple, you know. She's got that blonde, curly hair. And Mum grew up on the farm and fairly naive, can I say that? Just didn't understand a lot about life, worked the farm. My dad came along when my mum was 16. My dad was 17, but he wasn't my dad then. My dad was, a bit of a hood, you know, I don't know what you'd say. And somehow, you know, one thing led to another, and my mum got pregnant with me, but they were not married. And you say, oh yeah, happens all the time around here. You know, in the day it was scandalous. In the day it was deeply shameful. And I don't even know my mother fully understood all that had taken place, to be honest. And so she just tried to keep working. And she would just loosen her dress and try to hide the fact that she was getting bigger, and she kept working. And my dad was angry. He didn't want that to happen, but they weren't married. And she tried to hide it from my grandfather. So here's this ex-World War II veteran, a strong man, a man who has some pride in his family. Eventually he found out. And there was just deep shame on my mum at 16. And my grandfather said, "You will marry." That's what they did in the day in Australia. If there was a couple where that happened, they forced the marriage. And my grandfather said, "You will marry, but you will not marry in a church. And I will not come to your wedding." And so my mum at 16 married my dad at 17 in my grandmother's backyard. And that happened on the 27th of October. This 16-year-old farm girl marrying this 17-year-old boy who doesn't want to get married, is angry about this, has a lot of his own issues. They get married on the 27th of October, and I was born on the 28th of October. So I was birthed into a certain travail immediately. Dad didn't want to be married. He became an alcoholic. When he would drink, he would get violent, and we just had a lot of things happen that I won't go into tonight. I think about my mum's lot in life. You know, I don't know that my mum really had too many days of happiness in her whole life. She was put in hospital multiple times. She had to keep working to take care of us, just to get us through school. I never understood that when I lost my school sweater, that why it upset Mum so much. The reason it upset her is because they just didn't have any money to replace it. And she would work through the night, and sometimes he would get drunk and beat her, and she would get all blackened in her face. And she'd go to work, and the other ladies would say, her name was Pam, they'd say, "Pammy, what happened to you, love?" And she'd say, "Oh, I got up and hit the door in the night when I was going to the bathroom." And I think about her lot in life. And I think about all the suffering my mum bore. And I think about the home I was born into. When I was about 6, my mum just decided she couldn't go on anymore. So she would have been 22. And I found her within the gas oven with the door open. And she had put a pillow in the back of the gas oven, and she turned on the oven, and she had crawled into the oven and put her head on the pillow. And I got there at 6 years old and yelled, "Mom, Mom." Then I grabbed her ankles and I pulled her out of the gas oven. And I mean, I could tell you story after story after story. And I used to cry at night, and I'd say, "God, why do I have a family like this? Why my dad never told me he loved me once?" My brother and sister would say to me, "Wayne, I don't know why Dad doesn't like you." And you know, are you understanding that you get a lot of complexities, a lot of troubles, a lot of heartaches, a lot of things you don't understand? It was my lot in life. I didn't get to choose that. But you know, God has used those things that happened to me to give me a heart of compassion for those who suffer. And in Thailand, I have become a father to the fatherless. I mean, they have a father, but the father is not there. And so whatever your lot in life is, you can get through by the grace of God, and you can live a life even within those circumstances where God can be glorified. And there are many things that you didn't choose, and you couldn't have chosen. And so all of these people had opportunity to succeed, all of them. And what happened here, because Dan was contending with these Philistines here, is that Dan left their place. And actually they relocated to the north up here. And it's recorded in the scriptures, they killed a group of peaceful people up there. A peace-loving people, a meek people, a timid people. They went in and slaughtered them because it was just easier than having to contend with this. Dan left their place. What were the consequences of that? The consequences are that in Revelation chapter 7, there's a list of the 12 tribes and the 144,000 that the Lord selected for him. And all the tribes are mentioned there in Revelation 7, but there's one tribe that's missing from that list. And go and read it. And if you read it, you'll notice, where's Dan? Dan is not on that list. And they're not. And they don't reappear. That's it. And there's a lot of different views about why they're not there. Some people believe the Antichrist will be of the tribe of Dan. Some people believe it's something else. They hearken back to some prophecies. But they left their place, and we don't hear of them in the Revelation list anymore. So the lesson out of this is this. Stay in your place. Stay where God has placed you. You may have been placed in a relationship. If God puts you there, stay. God placed me presently in Thailand. I'm going to stay. People say to me, Brother Shemesh, how long are you going to stay for? Well, how do I, you know, are you asking me, am I going to leave? No, I'm not going to leave. You mean you might die there? I might. I mean, I don't have any plan to leave. That's not even on my thinking. Oh, you like it there? Sometimes. But it's not about that. It's about staying in my place. Judas left his place. And he went to another place. Lucifer, the covering cherub, left his place. And he's going to go to another place. So when God, yes, amen. So when God gives us a place, stay in your place. Stay. And don't say it's too hard. It may be hard, but with God, you can succeed. You can have blessing. You know, God can visit anywhere. God can breathe on any group of people. I took a little church in Australia. I was so excited. You know, they voted for me to be the pastor. There was a membership of 30. And finally, Brother Shemesh had arrived. And so, I'm now the pastor of 30 people. The first week I get out there and get my name on the signboard. You know, Pastor Wayne Shemesh. It looks good, doesn't it? You know, it was just a proud moment. I was so happy for that. And in just one month of being the pastor, I led that church from 30 to 20. And that was my first month. And then I just kind of really realized I need the Lord. I really need the Lord. And I would get into church before anybody ever came, and I would kneel over all the chairs. At first it wasn't that many. And I'd pray. I'd get down. Now, nobody saw this. I'd pray. I'd say, now, Lord, I don't know who's going to sit here. I'm not sure who's coming today. But I pray when they come and sit here that the Holy Spirit will just come all over them. Yeah. And, Lord, you know who it is. And you know who's going to be here. And I pray, Lord, they won't know it, but they're going to sit right in the lap of the Holy Spirit. And I'd get up from that chair and I'd go to the next one. And then I'd walk around and nobody would know. And then they'd come in and I'd get behind the pulpit and give, you know, the best I could give. And just something began to happen. It'd be like just like the Lord just went. And people would just start to feel the presence of God and lives started getting changed and people softened and I'd give the invitation and it would shock me, you know. I'd say, is there anybody here today? And you would want to decide for Christ, and if you'd like to be saved today and decide for Christ, you know, go ahead and put your hand up and sure enough someone would be. And I'd say, I see that hand. And the Lord would say, ask it again. I say, God, we already have one. Try it again. Is there anybody else who might be here who would like to be saved today? And then a couple over this side would go. And I'd think, oh, there's three. And God would say, do it again. And I give an invite, and just strange things would happen. And people would stand, and seven adults would walk the aisle to get saved. And God just would come, and he just sort of, see. And he can do that. He can do that. You can call down his touch in a special way. You can have him move around, and things start happening, and you know, this ain't me. And God just began to do that, and I've seen the Lord have the ability to bless and to do special things. I went to Thailand, and we didn't know anyone, and you know, I didn't know what was going to happen, and I finally won one or two, and we started church, and you know what happened? It happened again. And he was there again. And I'm saying, whatever your lot is, wherever God has put you, you can live in a way that glorifies him. Amen. You can see the blessing of God. Now, the only reason you don't see it is because you've told yourself, well, it don't work that way anymore. You know, the problem is we read books about others who have the blessing instead of getting it ourselves. But God can show up in a marvelous way. And whatever your lot, wherever you are, you know, Dan needed to say, well, this looks a little bit difficult, but God's with us. We can do it. Brother, you know they have them iron chariots. Yeah, I know. The Lord will help us. Iron chariots never stopped him before. You know, and you believe. And so we can do it. We can do it. We may not get them all out the first day. And we may not even get them all out the first year. But by the grace of God, we'll just keep going. Because if he put us here, he has a purpose in us being here. And he wouldn't have put us here to fail. And so whatever your lot is, wherever you were born, whatever your story is, whatever you inherited, whatever baggage is still around, you can live for God and God can use you in a great way. And don't listen to the voices of defeat. And don't buy into it that you're done. Or, you know, a fellow walked up to me one day in a meeting and he was in Australia, he just sort of teared up. And he said, you know, Pastor, I'm damaged goods. Never forget he said that. He said, I'm damaged goods. And I said, I understand. But you know, God can use you. God can help you. You might be damaged goods. You might have made some mistakes. You may have some profound regrets in your life and you just wish you could stop thinking about them. You if you could go back again, of course you'd do it different. But here we are tonight and we stand in our lot and God can help us and we can live in a way that's pleasing for him. And you don't have to leave your place because it's too hard. Because it's never too hard for God. And you can pray, God, I need some extra grace. I've had some dark, difficult times in Thailand. I've had times where I've sat on the side of the road and a truck will go past and all dirt and dust will fly up on me. And, you know, one little light flickering through the dust there in Nakhon Sawan. I'm sitting there and I remember looking around just saying, oh, God, how did I get here? You know, I'm not always on the mountain. I'm not always rejoicing every day. I have my moments. Paul said we despaired even of life. Well, if Paul felt that way, you probably got some hard times too. But with the grace of God, we need to understand he'll never put you somewhere that you can't get through. You can, you can, you can. You say, I've got some problems with my mind. He can help you. You can get through. So Dan disappears from here and relocates here and they're missing. But these two are put together. Now what do we make of this as we finish? Judah gets this big allotment, and they get it first. You know what God was teaching them? Because it said, they, first of all, they had it. They would have been looking and saying, boy, we got a good one. She's pretty big. Yeah, we're going to do a lot with that, that's for sure. And then the next allotment and the lot of Simeon fell within Judah. And you know what Judah learned that day? Judah learned that everything that is given to you is not for you. Just because it's given to you doesn't mean it's for you. And many times God will place something in our hands that is just meant to pass on through. That God said, I'm going to give you this blessing, but actually it's not for you. And I'm going to do something for you. And it looks a lot, but don't think too much because you actually won't be keeping it. It's going to go to somebody else. And we've got to understand in the Christian life, there are many things God has given me, but that doesn't mean they're for me. He's just put that through my hand. And a lot of things are that way. God will give you a blessing and it might be for you or part of it might be for you, but it might be for someone else. And the beautiful thing here is there was no bitterness. There was no resentment. He said, how do you know that? Because you read in Judges chapter 1 how they partnered together to start winning their area. And in fact, Judah says, and the terminology is sweet. Judah says, Simeon, my brother. Now, I know in Thailand, when you call someone affectionate, you call them Pi or Nong, which is my brother. My brother. Everyone in Thailand gets a name, you know. About this age, you're Lung, which is uncle. Or if you're old, you're Yai, which is grandma. Even if you're not grandma. You know, but you're always a brother. And that's the terminology that's used there. Judah says, Simeon, my brother, let's go forward and do this together. Now, I'm going to close with just a kind of final understanding here. Now, there's lessons with all of this, by the way. But we'll be here to, you know, Thursday next week if we keep doing that. But the final thing I want to conclude here is God put these two together. So what do we call this? We call it a shared inheritance. And a shared inheritance is when there's an investment of you and somebody else in a certain thing, where God puts you and them together for his purposes. So a marriage is a shared investment in your children. You come together, that children is not his or hers, it's ours. God gave them to us. And in turn, we give them to him. But it's ours. We've got to partner together to bring our children up. So there's a lot of things in ministry that are this way. They're a shared investment. So missions and the local church is one of these. Amen. All right, so I'm going to go to the foreign field and you're going to stay here unless you go somewhere as well. Some people stay here and some people go out, but I can't fulfill the will of God without you and you can't do it without me because you're not where I am. So you partner with me and I partner with you. So what are you doing here tonight, Brother Shemesh? Well, I'm not on deputation. You support me already. I have a lot of places I could be, but I'm here to be a little part of this local church's growth. I'm here just to make a little contribution to you getting a little bit closer to the Lord, a little bit stronger, a little bit behind the pastor, that we unify to do the work of God. It's important for me that you do well. And I pray unto that end. God bless Pastor Sherry, help him, use him there, Lord, and give him wisdom beyond his years. And help him. God bless his family. He needs that. And help the people to be in unity serving with him. And God bless them. They're good people there, Lord. I remember them. And help them, Lord. Some of them are sick. Help them. And Lord, some they're getting on in years. Some help them, Lord, because that can be hard. And Lord, those young people I saw there, do something in their heart. Oh God, help them not to waste their life. And I want you to be blessed and to do well. And you ought to pray that for me. Because God put us together in a shared inheritance. And a lot of things that you will do in the work of God will fall under that category. You won't do it all, but you'll be a part of something. One man sows, another waters, another reaps. The glory is the Lord's. The work is the Lord's. I walked into Nakhonsawan and there was a, you know, I told you, some people came and got saved that had heard before I even got there. Praise God. You say, well, who won them? Was it you or the other missionary? Yeah, it's just the Lord. Yes, the Lord. I'm not counting and he's not counting. It's not about that. It's about working together to do the thing that God would have us to do. And here in the local church, there's a lot of ministry is like this. You know, you can't be a person who says, if I can't do it on my own, I'm not doing it at all. All right, that's not a good attitude because God has put us together. And there was a shared inheritance here, and these two labored together and worked together. And the goal is to receive the blessing that God has set aside for you. So we're going to finish, but you have your lot. And there is blessing there. Well, preacher, to be honest, there's iron chariots there. Well, yeah, I know that. But there's blessing there. Yeah, but you know, it's hard. I know. But there's blessing. See, a lot of things are hard, but there's blessing. There's blessing. You have blessing. God has put you in a place where there is blessing. When you walk away, if it gets too hard, you miss the blessing. But if you just be faithful, and if you just say, Lord, this is where you put me. God, I was born to a teenage mum and a dad that struggled with fatherhood. And it wasn't the best upbringing. We grew up in the government housing district of Brisbane, Australia. And I went to the worst school in town. But it's okay, because you found me. You found me. And, you know, you're with me. You're with me and you help me. So you're over all that stuff now? No, not 100%. Still in the back of my head. If I sit and ponder too much, it'll all come out again. Do you relate to that? So what do? I get on with serving the Lord. I get on with serving the Lord. I keep going. There's another one I can help. There's another one I can reach. I sat with one of our best men. God's using him now to reach a lot of people in the village. He sat with me one day, and he'd grown up abandoned. And he'd been with me a few years. And he sat in the car with me one night, and he began to cry. And in Thai, he said to me, Pastor, why did my mother and father throw me away? In Thai, tamay meagap pom ting pom. Why did they throw me away? And he was crying, and I said, I don't know. I don't know. I said, but I know this. Jesus will never throw you away. And I'll never throw you away. And you know, I can't fix everything sometimes, but we can just hold on to what we know is true. Amen? And keep going forward for the Lord. And whoever you are tonight, keep serving the Lord in your lot. Let's bow for prayer. Let's bow for prayer. Did you get something tonight? Did the Lord speak to you? Are there some who'd like to use the altar? Would you come now? Would you just come and pray? The altar is open. You might just say, God, you know, I, this is the hardest thing I might have ever done in my life, but thank you for my lot. Thank you for my lot. That'd be one of the hardest things you might ever, ever say. Lord, thank you. And Lord, help me. And help me. And I believe that by your grace I can do it and I can get through. And maybe just say, God, I want the blessing. I want the blessing. You know, when he talked about it tonight, just that breathing of God, I want that. I want to see it. I want to see it. You know, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes God says, you're not hungry for it. You don't want it enough. Tell me you want it. Tell me you want. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it, God said. You know, and you can pray about that and maybe just pray about, you know, Thailand and your church, and maybe God's laying on your heart another missionary. Maybe there's someone in the church tonight and just God has just touched you about your own story, and you just might want to say, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you. There's a lot of things I still don't understand, but thank you, Jesus, I have you. And thank you for your grace. And whatever it is tonight, we'll just give you time to pray quietly. There are a number here praying. There are a number praying in the pew. And Pastor, you come when you're ready to do that, sir.